Good afternoon and welcome everyone to the Metro Access Subcommittee meeting today on Monday, November 20th, 2023. To begin with, as you just heard, this meeting is being recorded and the meeting audio will be placed on our website, which is wmata.com. I would like to take a quick moment and share some helpful tips with everyone. Anybody who's joining on the phone calls, if you'd like to make any comments, you can mute or unmute yourself by pressing star 9. If you would like to make comments, you can raise virtual hands or lower the virtual hand by pressing star 9. So again, if you'd like to make comments, you can mute or unmute by pressing star 6. To raise your virtual hands or lower hands, you would press star 9. Everyone who is on the video conference, you can click on the raise hand icon to raise your virtual hands or lower your virtual hands. And if you like to speak and mute and unmute yourself, just click on the speaker icon that says mute. And those tools will be helpful if you're able to use them, because that allows us in knowing that somebody's trying to make comments and we can have one speaker at a time. Everybody is on mute at this point. I would ask for you to please stay on mute unless speaking. It helps eliminate any external noise. So I would like to extend my thank you for staying on mute unless you're speaking. Just remind
audio now unmuted.
We do have two American Sign Language interpreters with us on this meeting. Therefore, when speaking, please state your name and then your comment, because it helps the interpreters in doing their job well. It also helps everyone who is on the phone calls knowing who the speaker is. And when people listen to the audio, it helps them in knowing who the speaker was at the time. We would also request speakers to describe themselves when speaking initially. For instance, I would describe myself and say that I am a female, Asian, Indian, and I wear reading glasses. Madam Chair, if you permit, I can go ahead, read the agenda, and then take the roll call of the committee members.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you. So before I read the agenda, I would also share my screen. So if you would please bear with me for a quick moment while I share.
Right.
And if someone could confirm with me that my screen is shared. Thank you, Rico. All right, so after I finish reading the agenda, I would go through the roll call of the committee members. At 4:05, the chair will go through the review and approval of today's meeting agenda and last month's meeting minutes. At 4:10, we would have the reports, which is commendations, customer service, and any outreach. At 4:15, we will have the awards, which are Michael Wilson and AAC Metro Access Safety. At 4:20, Christian Blake would present an update on where is my ride response time, along with the OCC director, if connected. At 4:45, Terrian Williams-Hall will share an OCC update about digital assistant and web booking. At 5:10, we will have an update about minivans by Mr. Blake. At 5:35, we will start taking our public comment section, and the meeting is scheduled to adjourn at 6 p.m. At this point, I would stop sharing my screen. And beginning the roll call of the committee members, when I call out your name, please confirm your presence. Azar Atura, Darnese Bush,
honored, Audio now unmuted.
Donnie.
Present Afro-American Black female, middle-aged elderly.
Thank you, Donnie's.
Good evening.
Tino Calabia. Vanessa Coles.
Oh, mute alert. You are muted. Press Alt plus A to mute your microphone, or press and hold the space key to temporarily leave
you
alert.
Need what?
Audio
what information
now
you need?
So Vanessa, we are recommending
alert.
All
Carol,
the speakers.
I'm getting some interruptions. Every time someone logs in, it
okay.
interrupts. So say it again.
I was just initially I had shared that we would request everyone to please describe yourself briefly when initially speaking.
Alert.
So if you like to do it now or later, if you make any comments, that would be fine also.
Later.
Okay, thank you. Rico Dancy.
Alt S, Zoom, host disabled, escape, Zoom meeting.
Hi there, I'm here.
Meeting button to activate.
I'm wearing a black hat.
Bar.
I've got
escape.
A beard, African American. And my hat says Ohio.
Thank you, Rico. Tawan Farmer.
Present, African-American male, currently wearing black t-shirt that says straight out of sight.
Thank you, Tawan. Debbie Fisher.
I'm here, white, middle-aged woman, brown hair, wearing a maroon top.
Thank you. Marcy Goldstein.
I'm here, older woman, white, with braiding hair, and I'm wearing a shirt with blue and white.
Thank you, Marcy. Timothy Howard. Steve Caffin.
Present, and I'm wearing my tuxedo, so I look sharp for the meeting.
Thank you, Steve.
Sure.
Thomas Mangrum. Philippa Mazel.
Hello, everyone. Good afternoon. African American, fierce, dynamic, and all ready to get this thing going.
Thank you, Philippa. Sandy Newsel.
Senior Caucasian with gray hair and a black cat named Snowflake sitting on my lap.
Thank you, Sandy. Phil Posner.
Present in a red shirt in the woods watching the Ukraine play Italy in a UEFA Cup game in the second half tied 0-0. Wearing a red shirt, and it's 80 degrees out here in the woods, right at the lake.
Thank you, Dr. Posner. Doris Ray. Denise Rush.
I'm Black American, older woman, 72, totally blind, and always wear African attire.
Thank you, Ms. Rush. Paul Semelfort.
Here and still kicking and try to be energetic. I'm African American male, middle aged, I guess, at 48. And I'm wearing a gray and green shirt, Mellow Bean, and blue jeans. And Metro Access Touch Me chairperson and pardon me today. I am on my way to the union station, so I'll be tag teaming with Ms. Rush to co-facilitate this meeting.
Thank you, Chair Summerford. Patrick Sheehan. Kelly Simono. And Philip Weintraub. Okay, that concludes the roster for today's meeting. I will be looking out for any AAC members who join afterwards, and I will mark their presence accordingly. Chair Somerford, we can make announcement about the public comments when we begin that section. At this point, I would ask for you to move the meeting forward. You have the floor.
Sure. First, I would like to say everyone, welcome, and thank you for your flexibility along with Ms. Rush. With this evening, as we go back and forth on facilitators. So the first thing we want to do is the agenda. Are there any additions to the agenda that is so fully packed? I see, Sandy, you had a question about the service area for Mr. Blake. Be sure to definitely incorporate that agenda item in after the other agenda items have been addressed. And if it doesn't get addressed today, we definitely will address it at the top of the head of the next Metro Access meeting in December. Does that sound fair?
Sounds perfect.
All right. All those in favor of the amended agenda that I put forth with Sandy's friendly amendment, please do so by saying aye.
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 Nay, abstention, the motion carries to have the amended agenda. Minutes from the previous month from the Metro Access Subcommittee. Are there any corrections, changes, additions to the minute? Hearing the crickets, we get a motion to accept the minutes from the last subcommittee as is. All right, so moved. All those in favor of accepting last month's minutes. Subcommittee man says is, please do so by saying aye.
Aye.
Nay, abstentions. The motion carries to accept the meeting minutes from last month as is. Next, Ms. Anderson and company is going to talk about customer reports and everything else with her staff attorney.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Mr. Semaford. My name is Allison Anderson. I'm an operations manager with the Office of Metro Access Service. I'm an African-American female, middle-aged, wearing a gray Metro jacket. And I'm here actually located at our New Carrollton headquarters offices. It is my pleasure right now to have Dolan Chittums with MTM provide our public comment report from our last session. Dolan?
Good afternoon. My name is Dolan Chittums, speaking on behalf of MTM. There were no outstanding public comments to address from October's AAC or Metro Access Subcommittee meeting. There was one outstanding public comment from September 2023 Metro Access Subcommittee meeting, in which a member of the public inquired about the option of traveling on Abilities Ride Uber Pets with a guide dog if she calls Where's My Ride and is notified that the ride is late. The resolution was that the managing director of Access Services, Mr. Christian Blake, shared that the call center agent could offer the Abilities Ride Uber Pets trip if the customer is currently in the process of having recent trips reviewed for possible issues related to service animal transport. Otherwise, the customer is offered an Uber X trip. Like all other customers, there is no need to speak with a supervisor to have a late trip or trip that is projected late moved to Uber, as call center agents can assist customers directly with the service issue. Now, moving on to the accommodations portion of this meeting. During the month of October, Metro Access received a total of 505 accommodations. The recipients were First Transit, 96, Transdev, 97, MV, 114, Challenger with 67, Next Merlin and VA with 112, MTM 3, Eligibility 1, and Abilities Ride 15. This concludes my report.
Thank you, Dolan. And insofar as outreach, I know our leader here, Mr. Blake, has been doing some various outreach events in the service area. I don't know, Mr. Blake, did you want to speak to anything?
Good afternoon, everyone. Christian Blake, Black American male, 53 years old. I forgot what else I was supposed to say. But In reference to the outreach, my last public appearance was at the third meeting of the Prince George's County Commission on Disabilities. They've been having a series of outreach events throughout the county, and I was proud to be there to share all the great things we've done with the Metro Access Service over the years, as well as be transparent with some challenges we continue to face as we strive to demonstrate a service that's of excellence and no excuses. So we're going out. I'm going to be doing more outreach events. I have a little more time on my schedule, if you will. So I think going out, speaking directly with the public in general and customers in specific, helps us both on both sides understand the limitations of a public transportation service, but also further help us on the operating side understand ways and grow ways that we can just continue to help improve the quality of the service and the service experience of our customers.
Thank you, Mr. Blake. So that does conclude our public comment and outreach report.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Anderson. The award recipients for the AAC award for safety and for Michael Wilson.
We do. Thank you, Mr. Semaphore. So at this time, I'd like to present Mr. Will Ford with First Transit to make those award recognitions this afternoon.
Good evening. This is Will Ford. I'm the general manager here with First Transit, African-American male, 35 years old. But our recipients are currently there, both on vacation right now for the upcoming holiday. But I want to highlight for the Michael Wilson is Mr. Joe McCray. He's fairly new to the contract, came in on February 2nd, 2022. He's exerted tremendous excellence throughout the contract. He has missed 0 days thus far, has perfect attendance, extremely patient operator that we have, receives accommodations day in and day out. So we wanted to highlight him. He has 5 children. That's where he exerts his patience from, 4 of them being young ladies, and 1 son. But he is a joy to be around in such a short period of time. He's made a great impact for us and the company. And the next gentleman is Kenneth Lewis. So Mr. Lewis has been on the contract since 2019, a little over 4 years. He will be receiving the safety award. He has had 0 preventable incidents, has a great safety record on the contract, goes above and beyond day in and day out, executes his job to the best of his ability. So we want to, highlight him as well. So those are our 2 recipients for this month, Allison.
All right. Thank you for that, Mr. Ford. And again, congratulations to both those worthy operators and for all they do for our customers and for our service. Thank you very much. All right, over to you, Mr. Semaphore.
First topic of the evening we will cover coming in is Mr. Blake, CEO of OCC, Operations Control Center Director, coming back to give us an update. We discussed a week ago, last month, but the month before, about Where's My Ride statistic. And looking at the data, I think in September it was at 76%. How that is doing and what initiatives y'all have been doing where we call in that first initial call is not going on to be an average of 5 or 10 minutes. And I know y'all are doing aggressive staffing, so we just want to hear an update about that, as you said you would do for this month.
Okay. So I'm sorry, I don't have the stats that we're talking about, and I apologize for not seeing that stat, but we'll get that back to you. But I will tell you, the phone challenges we've had that you all have talked about on here have slightly improved, but again, we'll get you the data to show that. Customers have been adapting to the Where Is My Ride web app that has helped, we believe, in alleviating some of the pressure on the Where's My Ride side. We're stamping down on the OCC's employees who are prone to always passing every call onto a supervisor, which then just generates longer hold times. So that has had a positive impact as well. And we have launched quietly a little pilot, and we're using humans right now, myself and another person who works in the OCC side, in which customers can send text messages to ask about Where's My Ride. And what they're doing, instead of calling the call center, they're calling, they're texting a number. And we're going to soon have an IVR message about the official number to send text messages to for some help during certain times of the day. And we believe that has been helpful as well. Now, it gets kind of overburdensome over the weekends, especially when people are texting you to book their trips. They're texting you for everything in addition to Where's My Ride. But that's the nature of this. And eventually we hope that through a tool, maybe Tim's brother or cousin will have another a digital assistant to help. That's really the end goal. But right now we're saying, what if we just have human beings answering text messages instead of having customers call and be on hold? Does that help? And we believe that is having a very small, because it's still relatively new, but a positive impact as well. So I apologize for not having the data. And so much has been going on. I'll admit that one just slipped by me. We'll make up to you during the AAC meeting, the very first meeting of next month. But we believe, based on some factors that we have seen, and particularly a slight increase in customer satisfaction, specifically related to improved telephone experience, we believe that all of our efforts are having a small but steady moving forward impact. And then later on, I believe Terrian is on the call. We have launched the Tim pilot, and Tim is taking a low but steadily growing number of reservation calls. And as those calls begin to increase, we'll be able to have more people staffing the Where's My Ride line. But I don't want to get ahead of myself on that in terms of this conversation. But we're making progress, and we're... Oh, and then one other thing, Allison or Terrian, do you want to talk about the directive we've given the contractor to go what we call all hands on deck if there are calls backed up in the phone queue? Do you want to share any information with, or does somebody from the OCC wants to share any information about that initiative as well?
Absolutely. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. I was going to say, like, for the most part, I've seen some of it go down when I've called. But like I said, you still got those heavy peak times, like Wednesday evening around 6 o'clock, where it's averaging creeping in, but it's getting less and less around close to 10 minutes. And I think that was the time I was texting about the Uber and how it kind of timed out on me. And I was on the phone for almost 10 minutes before I got someone who was able to restart it again. So hopefully that type of peak time is beginning less than during peak period we want to address. Go ahead, Ms. Williams Hall.
Sure. My name is Terrian D. Williams Hall. I am the director. Sorry,
real quick. And I wanted to just, I thought I was talking, but I was on mute. Real quick, to Paul's point, I'm glad he texted me. And that's the goal of this whole thing. Well, you've been texting me way before this initiative, but we want all customers to be able to have that sort of digital outreach, even if you're on hold, and eventually either a person, because we'll staff this 24/7, or a digital assistant will be able to quickly reschedule your Uber trip the way I was able to do. So continue to reach out to myself and others when you get the new number. But yes, we're making some progress. And Terrian, why don't you tell them more about it? Sure.
Again, Terrian D. Williams Hall, Director for Metro Access. I am a middle-aged African-American woman wearing a blue dress with some tan pinstripes. With that, I would like to add that we are absolutely moving forward with efforts to reduce the customer wait time when they're calling into the Where's My Ride queue, to the extent that our vendor that supplies this service has devised something called All Hands on Deck. And once a call is in the queue and it reaches a minute and a half, as our ASA or our average speed to answer goal is within 2 minutes, once it reaches a minute and a half, then all available resources are to log in and take the calls in the queue to clear out the queue. Those available resources might include other agents who are dedicated to operator support. We'd like our customers to keep in mind that we're trying to segregate the duties on our Where's My Ride calls so that they're just agents who take Where's My Ride calls, then agents who support our operators on the street. But when we find ourselves in an all hands on deck position, those agents, many of them will have to come off the operator support, jump on to deal with our customers. The supervisors and managers are expected to jump in at that time as well. Mr. Blake alluded to, and we're working towards using our thinking machine or digital assistant more to free up resources on the reservation side to add support during those all hands on deck periods.
All right. Any questions from committee members?
Yes. Debbie Fisher has her hand up. Debbie, go ahead.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
I'm just wondering, Debbie Fisher, white, middle-aged woman with brown hair. My question is all the backup, are all the backup people who would come in to come on to a all hands on deck situation equally trained to respond to the population of folks who might be using this call? Because it's a specific skill set needed to work with this population.
Yes, ma'am. That is why, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mr. Blake.
No, these are their regular employees. They're all trained. It's just a matter of, if you're taking a break, you have to come off your break. If you're the 15-minute break, the lunch break, we need you to come and answer the phones so we can clear out the lines. But these are not temp agencies that we're grabbing in 5 minutes. No, these are the regular employees who, for one reason or another, were not logged in at the moment that the backup began.
Okay, great. Thank you.
And, Mr. Blake, we wanted to also find out, I know last time we talked about 65 new staff been hired and in the process of training. How, can you give us an update of where are y'all in that process?
Okay, so always keep in mind now, these are the contractors' employees, so Metro isn't doing the hiring. But if I'm not mistaken, they're now up to 75 people in reservations and more than 60 in Where's My Ride. So they have been increasing, and every week there are classes of new employees. Each of the last couple of outreach events I've gone to, people have always said, hey, they're looking for jobs, and I just tell them to go talk to the contractor and see what they say. And it's actually worked for a few of them. So they're hiring, they're increasing. But I think one of the things Terry and has helped educate me on in reference to call centers is it's not always just about sheer numbers. It's about quality people who are focused on their task and their job and care about, as Ms. Fisher just really pointed out, care about and understand the customer clientele that they're serving. And if they're focused and professional on their task at hand, the sheer number of employees that they have is not really the critical factor. It's the care and concern and approach to their daily job that really will make the difference. And I think that's the piece that's starting to really show some benefits.
Right. With the bringing on board of new digital pathways to get information out to people as you're doing pilots,
Eventually, how are you going to be able to, I guess, educate or share that to customers so they can take advantage of it in the future?
Okay. So the first, so where it started, right now there's an IVR message that has a phone number if you want to sign up or if you want to get a link to the Where's My Ride web application. That phone number is going to be changed, and the individual who's currently handling the phone that that number is going to go to will eventually grow to multiple individuals. When this person is finished his or her shift, then it goes to the next person. So we're steadily working so that the first part of outreach is going to be through the IVR. And trust me, as the person whose number has been on the current IVR message, I can attest to you that customers hear that number. And even though the message currently says text, believe me, they know a call. And like any customer, myself, when it comes to the bank or whomever, once customers know that there's a phone number they can call and somebody's actually going to answer the phone, guess what they keep doing? They keep calling that number, and they'll call me for any matter. Like I said, book a trip. How many trips do I have scheduled today? What time are my trips? Nothing to do with where's my ride, theoretically. But that's the kind of service, and I'll remind them, and if depending on where I'm at and what I'm doing, I'll provide them the information they're seeking. But that's the what we want to grow. Put a number out there that's going to be a number for a long period of time that at the beginning is going to be available mainly 8 to 4 p.m., but eventually we want to grow that to the 24/7 support that reflects our 24/7 service.
And with the pilot you do with the texting, how many customers are you working with right now and how many staff? Just to get an idea, even though it will be expanded, how, you know, this is making progression.
Okay, now you, when you ask how many customers, are you talking about how many people call or text that number?
Yeah, for information right now.
Yeah, I can't even give you a number. I have no idea. I can tell you this, that we currently have approaching 900 people who have signed up for the Where's My Ride app. So that's 900 people who I've had to send a text message to, because the only way to get the link is from a text message from me at the moment. Although, again, we're going to grow that. So that's at least 900. But then there are, I'm going to just say dozens. I don't want to, you know, overinflate. But there are many customers, some who are on this call, and it's all good, who text for Where's My Ride information as opposed to using the tool. They prefer someone just look at their trip and send them the information. Again, depending on where I'm at, I could do it because I have it on my cell phone. So, you know, it depends on what the circumstances are. There are customers who call, again, about how many trips do they have scheduled? I forgot what time is my pickup window. Can you tell me? So there are calls, there are texts. There are a lot. And it's all good. It's a labor of love. But, yeah, there is a lot. So there is a market there. I truly believe that So as much as we depend on telephones, and telephones will never go away, don't get me wrong, I truly believe that there is a growing momentum in appreciation of the simple, accessible tool of SMS text messaging. I've loved it for many, many years. And I think from what I've seen through our success with the Uber program and other things, SMS is a very positive tool for communicating with people for a host of reasons, but especially in terms of their transportation information on our platform.
And I see the power in it, because particularly with Uber and myself, it's like, okay, you know, you send me this Lincoln trip and then I can communicate to the driver so I can get picked up and, you know, certain
Alert.
Things and
Nicole you know, Ray
expanded in terms of working with, you know, with trips and rides and different aspects, you know, steadily over time in a controlled fashion that'll be beneficial to all customers. And so any other committee members that have questions as it relates to this topic? Anu, can you help me? I think yes. I see Vanessa Coles' hand.
Yes, Chair Summerford, this is Anu. Vanessa Coles has her hand up, and then Sandy News also. Vanessa, go ahead. Vanessa, please unmute yourself.
I thought she was unmuted. Oh, she didn't mute. Okay.
Right. While we are waiting.
Audio now unmuted.
Hi, this is Vanessa, African American, middle aged, and I'm wearing a white t-shirt today. So I just wanted to just make a statement, maybe. I notice within the OCC when I'm inquiring about a trip, or even when I'm making reservations, no, I'll say it's the OCC area where they're giving more information, which is taking a minute. Like they're saying the day, they're saying the zip code, the all that information. And then when I'm asking for Uber assistance at the end, when they're going, say for instance, I've asked for assistance with my Uber trip because I can't click on the website, it's not working. So then they initiate the call. Uber is calling me to let me know what my information is, and I'm holding on waiting for them to finish their spiel, which I really feel bad about hanging up on them because I got to answer the phone to Uber. So is all of that information necessary?
Okay, so I'm going to start, and I'm going to let Terry in, and I see Allison on the screen. Either one can chime in when I pose this question. Information. This is a very, and I'm going to go back to, again, Ms. Fisher's point. This is a very delicate service dealing with, well, all customers, I mean, quite frankly. And I'm going to use myself as an example. If I'm rushing and not paying attention and I go online and buy a plane ticket, I could buy a plane ticket to Charleston, West Virginia, but I'm really trying to go to Charleston, South Carolina. You get my drift. So, yes, we're sharing information to try to ensure that the customer's trip is booked where they want to go to avoid any potential issues as much as possible. If we take a shortcut on any one piece, there could be a problem, and we want to avoid that. So the few seconds there, we just ask people to be patient and allow the information, but don't just kind of let it drift. We've got to hear it because this is your trip and you want to be sure that you're going to the right place. Now, in terms of the Uber calls, and yeah, and I've said that all the time, so I'm guilty. I'm now going to sound like I'm double talking. It's like as soon as the trip for a customer is on Uber, you get that phone call. Well, you just sent me a text. I kind of know it, but I got it. The thing is, though, what I've asked the employees of the OCC to do is, I've done with Paul, I've done with other customers on this call, you call me and say your link for Uber is not working or your trip is running late and you want an Uber. I verify the information, and I'll admit, I may not go all the way to the zip code with some of you, so maybe I need to get my training in that OCC environment. But what I try to do is politely end the call, then I go and book your Uber trip. I don't book it while you're there. I mean, that's what I've been saying all along. We don't need a supervisor to book your trip, and you don't need to be on hold when somebody's booking an Uber trip for you or making changes. You tell us what it is you need, the dispatcher confirms it, politely ends the call, and politely is the key. We have to politely end the call. Then they can do what they have to do, and in a few seconds, you'll get a text message and a phone call. So you're right. You're getting a lot of information, but in our opinion, that's for your safety.
Alert.
More than anything, Terrian or Allison, do you believe, or I mean, you all are the experts on the script.
Sure.
Do we believe that we're giving out too much TMI, if they say?
No, absolutely agree with what you just shared. What I would add to that, likely what's being referenced to, is the customer-facing safety message. So Where's My Ride agents are required to provide a customer safety message at the end of each call. And I know if you call in daily to say, Where's My Ride? You are going to hear that message every time you call in. But our data shows that during the month that we give a message, the next month we go back and we look at the nature of the incidents and injuries that occur to customers, we see a significant decline in that area based on the subject matter that we have given the message on. That's the only reason why we continue to share the message. If there wasn't some data that supported a decline in injuries associated with our message topic, we certainly wouldn't just do it. It's not a rote exercise, but it's there to advise the customers of what they can do to contribute to their safety while being transported.
I'm not necessarily referring to that. I'm referring to when I call in, they give in a date, today's date. They give in today's date, which is not necessary. They are given the whole entire zip code and everything. And then at the end, like I said, it's this whole spiel that I try to be polite and listen to it. But if my Uber ride or the message from Uber is calling, I have to hang up because to listen to all of that they're saying.
Right. And but you're saying that this spiel that you're referencing, it's not the safety message? Because I'm not sure.
No, I'm not talking about that.
What the spiel is. Are you saying is that the recap where they're going back over what the commitment is and what time you can expect your vehicle?
Let me see. Where is it? It's OCC. It is an OCC.
Right.
I'm calling in. It's usually Uber because I mostly use Uber. So I'm inquiring. Oh, it's usually in the morning. I guess it's in the morning when I need some assistance. And they are repeat. I'm sorry, I got all these things going off here. I'm trying to think.
What they're repeating is where you're located. Then they're repeating they're telling you where you're located and all your address, where you're located in the zip code, and then they're telling you where you're going and the zip code and all that.
Well, they added the date.
Yeah, the date, they have the date and all of that. It is a little time consuming when you're on the phone.
It's like, a lot of information. Yeah,
so
it's
a lot of information.
It's a lot of information.
Because when we talk about the date, and I know when I talk to my mother sometimes, she'll say, oh, today's Tuesday or today's Monday. I mean, I guess I'm just wondering, it's a lot of information, perhaps, but if it's for the assurance that you have the right information and that, most importantly, we have the right information to transport you at the time you want to be transported and from where you're coming from to where you're going, I guess I'm wondering, why would you want us to take a shortcut when it potentially could be dangerous?
All right. Thank you.
Okay, Ms. Coles.
Mr. Blake, I do want to follow up on Vanessa with about the Uber and asking for supervisors. This weekend, late trip, they want to move it to Uber. The problem comes when the agent moves it on and I don't get the information and it's not done correctly, as admitted in one call, they put in my incorrect cell phone number when they should have popped me and asked. That's when I'm calling for a supervisor, because I gave you two chances to get the job done right. And obviously when I call supervisor, they didn't do it. So that's the reason why one would ask to handle the situation. I know there's some agents, I will say, that know how to handle it on the front end and no problem do it. And I can see it within a minute or two. And then some, it's like, you got me off the call, but I have to call back because you didn't do some part of it right. So that's where I'm just putting that out there.
And if there's human error because somebody's not paying attention to their task at hand, yes, you then have to speak to a supervisor, and I'm hoping that the supervisor and their manager are notating the errors and then addressing the individual who made the error. Because, yes, if the goal is for you not to have to call back, obviously, number one, but not even have to speak to a supervisor because your information is on the screen, information needs to be transported to the Uber screen, and life goes on. And I always tell people, if I can do it while I'm sitting in a car, on a plane, on a cruise ship in Cuba, or wherever I'm at, somebody should be able to do it while sitting here in the comfort of the New Carrollton headquarters. So I'm with you. If that's the issue, then yeah, that person needs to be addressed and retrained, but that should be few and far between. I think our biggest problem has been the agent who you happen to call, just that first person. They were programmed in their mind some kind of way that anything that dealt with Uber or anything that went beyond first grade, if you will, had to all go to supervisors, and that created the 10 and 20 minute waits for a supervisor, and that's what we're trying to avoid.
Okay, gotcha.
Audio now unmuted.
I'm sorry, and I'm in the same vein. And this just happened just yesterday with me asking for a supervisor. The problem I had was the system. I needed a 2 o'clock appointment time, leaving my job. The system told me it was only going to take 30 minutes to get there, but my window was 12:30 to 1, which was a whole hour and a half. So when I asked the young lady to speak to a supervisor, she said, let me see if one is available. So I didn't like that statement, but she must have typed in some message to see if she could transfer me. Then the supervisor never came to the phone. So we completed. I just went ahead and took what was available to me, even though it was making me leave my office 15 minutes early. So after we finished doing my trips, supervisor never came to the phone. So I said, that's okay. But she called me back, the supervisor, 5 minutes later, and told me that, well, no, let me back up, because then she said the supervisor wanted to know what I wanted. And I said, I just explained to you what I wanted. She said, well, she didn't understand. I was just asking her to report it. That's all I wanted, to report it to technical support so that they could see that the window that it was giving me, the time it said I was going to be on board was only 30 minutes, but the window it gave me was 12:31, which was actually a whole hour and a half.
All right. So after this, we do need to move on to two topics because it's 4:45.
We'll follow up on that because there is a scheduling window of 90 minutes. So if you ask for a pickup at 12 o'clock, for example, I'm just using a number, and I'll follow up with on your request, Ms. Coles. But if you ask for a pickup at 12, Metro Access does have from, what is that, 11:15 to 12:45 to find a trip for you. If all the 12 o'clock trips are taken, that's where the spread. Now, that comes straight from the ADA. Now, the ADA allows an hour. We're only 90 minutes. So, but I'll see if that's what the issue is. We'll follow up on that phone call and get more information to you. But I do see a couple more hands, so we want to address those, and I'll come back to you.
This is a Chair Samaport. Sandy has had her hand up. We can take one last question from her, and two members of the public will be able to make their comments during public comment session so that we can stay on schedule.
We do need to move on with this agenda.
Right. So Sandy, go ahead.
Okay, this is Sandy. Very quick question. Is the TIM AI assistant answering every call or only when calls are backing up at the call center?
So that would be a perfect question to ask for the next presentation, Sandy. So
okay.
Ms. Williams will now address it. So Ms. Williams Hall, having that, you can go dive into your presentation about that in webhook, but with the AI first, and then probably respond to Sandy's question.
Okay, so I'm pleased to share that we initiated our digital assistant pilot last Tuesday, November 14th at roughly 2 p.m. Since that time, we've taken nearly 350 calls and successfully booked numerous customer trips. We're still reviewing the system and make changes based on customer feedback. I'm pleased to share that while there are yet impending improvements we're going to make to the digital assistant, for the many customers that have successfully booked trips, our current customer satisfaction number on a scale of 1 to 5 is 4.6. So I'll start addressing your questions at this time. I'll begin with your question, Ms. Newsel, and that is that, yes, it is not designed to take every call that comes into the call center. That would absolutely have an impact on the staffing. So what it does is we have an SLA of an expectation that 85% of all calls are answered within 2 minutes. So adhering to that 2 minute average speed to answer expectation, if a call is on hold for a designated period of time within that 2 minute span, then that call goes directly to Tim. The customer then, of course, has the option of booking their trip through Tim or requesting an agent. If they request an agent, then it's sent to a different queue, not back to the same queue to wait. It's sent to a tier two queue now that typically does not have a hold time. And then that call is immediately answered and resolved. And I am available for any additional questions with regard to the digital assistant.
Thank you for the explanation.
Absolutely.
Any further questions about the digital assistant and its rollout? Its rollout.
Chair Samuelford, I do not see any additional hands up for this topic.
Ms. Dunaway, it looks like her hand might be up for it. Anu?
I think that was from the...
That was from before.
That was from, she's going to be up. We're going to come to Ms. Dunaway at the end as she has some concerns about supervisors in the call center.
What I wanted to specifically say about this, because it was brought up about reciting like the address or whatever. I have a friend who's blind, and I can tell you there's a North Washington in Rockville. Mm-hmm. There's a North Washington in Falls Church. There's a North, I see the heads gone. There's a North Washington in Springfield. And when I'm right. with him, so, I try very, very hard to make sure he gets on his bus because he's blind or whatever have you. But what I'm saying is there's a lot of different places where those venues take us for like in the evenings, and poor him ending up in the wrong place. And he's not even going to know why he ended up somewhere and he didn't get where he's supposed to go for work as a musician. So I just wanted to bring up that so that the lady knows that is why it's especially important, even though it sounds redundant. Thank you. That was what that was about.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Dunaway. Thank you, Ms. Dunaway. This is
you went on mute, Anu. You're on mute.
Okay, something's all right. Thank you, Mr. Blake. Ms. Chair Samuelford, I believe, got disconnected. Ms. Rush, I would ask for you to move the meeting forward for the remaining of the duration unless Mr. Samuelford is able to rejoin. If any of the committee members have any questions or comments regarding the current topic, which is the OCC update digital assistant and web booking, please raise your hands or come off of mute. If not, we can move on to the next topic, which would be an update about minivans.
I just have a quick question. This is Debbie Fisher.
Sure. Go ahead, Debbie.
White middle-aged woman. My question is, when you're travel training people, or have you thought about this, that when you travel train people, are you going to train them in how to use the digital assistant?
That's a good question. I don't think that's been, I guess I'll be honest with you, I'm a little old-fashioned, so I was thinking when you say travel training, I'm thinking helping facilitate a person with disabilities use of fixed route services. But when you talk about training and part of their travel is booking the trip, I think we can add to our customer guide. I think that's a very wise bit of advice you've given us, that we probably should just go ahead and add to the customer guide a rather detailed listing of how to use the digital assistant. So that the adaption of it and the comfort with it grows, which helps everybody, folks calling the call center, as well as those who are just using the digital assistant. So I'll follow up. Terrian, was that part of our plan? I'll admit I didn't have it on my agenda, but I think Ms. Fisher just gave us some great ideas.
No, absolutely. Thank you for sharing that. We believe that the system is mostly intuitive and wouldn't require any specialized training, but you bring up a great opportunity for us to introduce it to the customer at the onboarding period. So we will absolutely take that into consideration for implementation soon.
Thank you. Because my thinking is, and I think I've said this to Mr. Blake in the past, but my view is that for the folks with developmental disabilities, we can potentially ultimately move more of them towards the fixed route system if we can initially teach them how to work the system on the Metro Access side of it, because it's a skill that we assume they're never going to learn, and then we don't teach them, and then they don't learn it. So it occurred to me as I was listening to this process, it's a really good skill. I think we could train them. And their families, to be honest.
Thank you. We'll absolutely consider that.
Thank you.
Hopefully, we work through some of through the testing phase with some of the committee members, some of the bugs over time we talked about previously. Hopefully, during this first test period, people found a little bit more flow and ease of using digital assistants. We want to talk to about some of the. To that and some of the common issues we found during, just sort of beta testing it as committee members. How's that fair in the law?
Here's some reports.
Oh, can you hear me?
Your voice was breaking up, so I apologize. I could not understand exactly what you were saying.
Oh, I was told that Mr. Williams Paul and I know during beta testing with some of the committee members, we brought up some issues with the digital assistant and just wanted to find out if some of them may have cropped up or have gotten better, like understanding, multi-numeric addresses and things of that nature, and booking the whole and simple,
sure.
Booking return trips and things like that. How's okay. That faring after? It's flexed its muscle to learn and understand people.
Yes, sir. So as I shared with you, and I now openly share with the subcommittee, it is that our digital assistant is a thinking machine. And what that means to us in plain language is that it learns the more and improves with the more calls that it takes. So over time, the more that it learns how our customers communicate, the more that it learns what the expectations are, where the failure points are, the sharper and the better that the system becomes. So we've only been in motion now for about this. Today, it would be our fifth day in service. So we've not made any specific changes based on the feedback. We're waiting until we get some more call volume under our belt, but we are capturing all of the data points. Every time a customer decides to transfer a call or to end a call before the trip is successfully booked, we're gathering that data. In some cases, we're calling the customer back to find out what prompted their decision to end the call here. So we're gathering everything that we can so that we can improve the customer experience. And you may not see a change from day to day, but you will see changes week over week as we're gathering more data and then implementing it into the system. The things that we talked about, Mr. Semelfort, specifically, a lot of them we have already implemented. The remaining are things that we're learning now that we're receiving more calls through the system.
This is Anu, Chair Semelfort. I see Philippa's hand is up. Philippa, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Okay. Good afternoon again, everyone. Philippa Mazzell, African American, wearing a black and white geometric top. I just wanted to say, I did call today to book a Metro Access ride, and I heard them say that I might be referred to the digital assistant. So since I was incapacitated last month and didn't get to come to this meeting, I'm glad to see that it has been rolled out. And from the first set of tests to the second set of tests, yeah, I will say it was very responsive to every concern that I raised. And I would work with Tim now. I'm not scared of him anymore.
Thank you so much for sharing that feedback. Thank you.
Okay, no problem. Bye-bye.
All right, now we're going to move on to, if I don't, is there any other committee members? We're going to talk about wet books in there.
Chair Summerford, this is, I know we do not have hands up from any other AAC yep. members.
Oh, okay. So wet booking, I know this is what you call.
Yes, Mr. Summerford, you're breaking up a little bit, but the specific issues that you brought up brought to our attention last week, Allison Anderson has partnered with our web system to have those addressed, so I'll defer to her for response.
Thank you, Ms. Williams-Hall. Mr. Summerford, I know there were three original specific questions that you had raised regarding the update with the past web. One of them was now having to do an extra step surrounding a PCA. If you are planning not to travel with the PCA, I think in the web booking now it does ask you if you want to travel with the PCA, and you have to now say, confirm that you do not. That is there right now because the default in the profile is that customers will travel with the PCA. So if you do not want to continue to answer that question, it's just a simple adjustment in your profile to state as such. And then going forward, you would not be asked that question or have to perform that extra step. Relative to being able to cancel trips online that are within that 2 hour before travel timeframe, Mr. Semaford had reported that with the update, that was not possible. Our team, our IT team, did perform a test and did find that, at least in their testing, they were able to continue to cancel trips, even if they are within that 2 hour time frame prior to that trip being executed. So I guess, Mrs. Semaford, if you're still continuing to find that on your end, please let me know. Maybe we can do a real-time troubleshoot and try to figure out maybe what's happening there. But right now,
up to the point of like when the window begins, I used to have the ability on the online application up until the driver comes, arrives the trip, and performs it, I was able to cancel the trip electronically or on that IVR. Now, when the window opens, let's say at 8 a.m. to 8:30, exactly at 8 a.m., I no longer have that ability. I used to have it going into that window until the driver comes in, you know, arrives the trip on site. And then, of course, now, that changes that.
Are you so still experiencing that right now? Are you like still experiencing?
Yes, in the sense that if I wanted to cancel a trip when the window begins, that option is no longer there. You know, and this is even before the driver has, you know, arrived in that window when the window begins. So that I would like to have that, to retain that ability to do that. So that would be one less call where I have to speak to a human being because I noticed on the IVR I'm not able to do that because what is equivalent online is equivalent on instant access.
Okay, so we'll I'll take that back to our IT team because they're telling us right now that that is possible and doable from their tests, and that basically the biggest change here is that customers now receive a warning that their cancellation could incur a penalty.
And it would say that it did that in the past. If I went to cancel a trip up to the 2 hours, and then at the point when the window opened, I was still able to do that until in that window the driver has arrived. Now, after the window has opened, quitting is when I no longer have that ability, and I like to be able to do that with the understanding it will still cue me to say, this is, you know, a late trip.
Okay. Well, I'll take that back. I'll take that back and let them know that you're still encountering that, and then I'll wrap back around with you to provide, you know, their response and kind of next steps. The third thing that you brought forward was not being able to book trips during certain late hours of the early morning. A fix was put in place on last Thursday. So you should be able to see a difference there.
I began to see that difference. That. Thank you.
All right. Very good. Very good. So I think those were the three items that you brought forward. So it looks like I need to just wrap back around on that second bullet.
Yeah, because even though, yes, it will be a late cancellation, even at the beginning, your window, is just with the call, you know, calling to the call center, the customer is able to cancel a trip. It still tells you, it's, you know, even at the beginning of your window, it'll count as a late cancellation. One less call will be a lot less impacted, you know, you have to talk to someone to cancel the trip.
Okay, absolutely. And we'll get right on that, and I'll let you know the outcome.
All right. Any other questions from this member on this topic of the AI or web booking before we move on to talk about the Metro Access
new Ms. Rush just raised her hand. Ms. Rush, go ahead.
Go ahead, Ms. Rush.
This is Ms. Rush, Black Afro-American. I want to know, has it been corrected, like when I say, I want to go to 1330 Connecticut Avenue, but I want to be dropped off on the 19th Street side. That the AI doesn't repeat that back to me. And then I want them to pick me up, and it has a 1330 Connecticut Avenue address, but I want to be picked up on the 19th Street side. It still doesn't repeat that back to me.
So I guess Ms. Russ is referring to the instructions. I think we talked, Mr. Anderson and Ms. Williams called about on that Zoom call in terms of it asks for, you know, instructions for pick up and drop off, but it doesn't repeat it back to you know, verify. And I think you gave some guidance on that.
Absolutely. So this is Tarian Williams Hall again. So in response to that, what the system is doing today, it's going to confirm with you by saying, I've got that, which means it's captured the special instructions that you've provided, and those instructions are added to the instructions in your trip. At this stage, it is not designed to read that information back to you. We're considering the feedback from you, Ms. Rush, and all the other customers and any other customers that have provided that feedback. And if we get enough of it that warrants a change in the system, then we will make said change. For now, our change was before, if you recall, you got no indication whatsoever that it even heard you. Now it will respond when you give us that information. I've got that. Then it takes that information verbatim and it places it in the comment section in Trapeze with regard to your trip details. So that information is communicated, though it is not currently repeated back to the customer. That is something we're considering based on the number of customers that share that concern with us. And at the end of every call, the customer has an opportunity to rate the call. Throughout the call, we capture everything that they say. So if we start to get the feedback that this is a problem or a feature that a lot of customers want, we're working to have that added.
And perhaps at some point in the future, as you expand this, maybe you can give some guidance to customers as to how short with AI should we be with the instruction verbally so it captures hopefully all of it. You know, like maybe how many characters, how many words we should limit to for instruction. So we have an idea what we can leave with the AI. We know it will capture that information.
Right. Well, you know, Mr. Semaphore, the restriction would be on the trapeze side. The AI tool can capture everything you say. You are right. Trapeze will only take so many characters. So I hear you. Maybe that is something, Allison, we can certainly take note of and take back while we're working through our hypercare period. But thank you so much for that. I hear you, Ms. Rush. We were aware. That's why we made the initial change that we did. Right now, if you give that feedback, it will tell you I've got that, but it does not yet read the instructions back to you. We want to make sure that is something that a large portion of our customer population actually does require.
Yes, well, it sounds right now like we need the customer needs we need a class on how to properly talk and communicate to Tim because there are a lot of things that especially newly approved Metro Access users don't know what to do or what to say.
Yeah, I think that recommendation just came up a little while ago from Ms. Nuzel. We've taken that and are definitely going to find a way to get that implemented in some shape or fashion during the new hire. I'm sorry, new hire, during the new customer onboarding process. We're open to recommendations with regard to implementing the service in a more instructional manner with existing customers. Haven't broached that just yet with our leadership team or considered that, but not openly opposed to that concept. I think there's some value there. While I don't think that the system necessarily requires detailed training, I do think the more information that's available to the customers, the easier the use would be of utilizing the tool because it is different. So there's absolutely value in what you're sharing.
When Mr. Blake talked about the sessions that he attended in Prince George's County, I learned from that there is training that needs to be done about what is accepted with Metro Access and the AI. There's some training that needs to be done some kind of way so people know wherever they're coming or going.
Yes, ma'am.
And I'm learning, and I've been riding for 23 years. So a newly approved customer, really, we need training some kind of way. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Rush. This is Anu. I Chair Samford, I see Doris has raised her hand. Doris, go ahead.
Did you say me? Go ahead.
Yes, Doris, go ahead.
Yeah, okay. I think that Ms. Rush has, I think that Ms. Rush has brought up an extremely important issue, and as I understand the problem, I believe that it is a matter of effective communication under the ADA, particularly, for example, for blind and vision impaired customers. If they can't hear that repeated back to them to confirm for themselves and know, then it's not effective communication. So some kind of solution has to be made. And then the second issue I think regarding this is that people often designate a specific entrance because it might be the only accessible entrance to a building. And therefore, I think it's a high priority, and it's not a matter of how many people are requesting it, but logically, it is an accessibility and an ADA issue. Thank you.
Because right now, when I test the AI, the only way I know it gets proper instructions is I have to log into my Metro Access web booking account to see what it recorded. But of course, everyone is not able to do that.
As I mentioned, the system does give confirmation. It tells you that I've gathered that information. What it doesn't do, and I hear the concerns, it does not repeat the information back. We are only 5 days in. I just want to remind everyone, it's a thinking machine. You know, it will grow. It will eventually get to where we need it to be. So continue to provide the feedback. We're taking it back to the developers and we're making the necessary adjustments. It may not show you that tomorrow, but we are absolutely incorporating the feedback that we receive.
All right.
Share some support. I see Sandy's hand is up also. So Sandy's comments might be last for this topic.
Yep, so we have one more, and then I need to find out from you and new how many people we have for customer comment period. Because if there's a lot of people, I'd rather take them first before the last topic and see if we have time for it. Because what I don't want to have happen is we get that six in there people quickly from the public who have a priority didn't get to have their comment period.
Okay. So I do know that there is a member of the public, Pamela. She would like to make her comments. There was someone on iPhone who had raised their hand before. Debbie Dunaway, I'm not sure if she needs to make any additional comment, but she did add some comments in the previous topic. And we have Amanda Hillman. So we have four members so far, three or four members.
All right, so what we're going to do is we're going to wrap up with this. I want to go with public comments first. That way we safely cover everybody. And then if we have time, we'll go and talk about the last topic about the new minivan. And if we need to, at 6 o'clock, we will continue to the next agenda as the first topic to discuss at the next meeting. But I do want to make sure I cover public comments period. Okay. People at 6 o'clock.
Okay, so I would ask the person who was on iPhone, if you have any comments, please come off of mute now. You would have 3 minutes to make your comments. I would turn the timer on for 3 minutes when you start speaking. I would try to give you a 30 seconds heads up before your 3 minutes end. However, I do not like to interrupt people when speaking, but you would hear a sound at the end of your 3 minutes. So if the person is still connected on iPhone. If not, I would ask Deborah Dunaway to come off of mute and make her comments.
I think I'm off mute, aren't I?
You are. We can hear you.
Oh, okay. Okay, great. Okay. Just that, boy, it's always so hard when I'm like right here. I tend to think that it's still a problem late on the weekends at night getting through to a supervisor. I understand you're limited. What I'm sensing or my experience is that very often, like a perfect example is I knew I was going to end up getting an Uber, but the person sent me the code. And my original trip was supposed to be like 2 a.m., but they sent me the Uber thing before midnight. And so then I had to call back again anyhow and hold because I would have had to fix that link or whatever have you. And other than that, just so you know, the system is still hanging up when I call in to make a reservation or I call in to talk to dispatch by pressing 22. It's still disconnecting and hanging up. It's still taking me a couple tries. That was one thing. And then the other thing I wanted to state was that on some of these locations that are very weird and not mapped out well, like for example, Capital One Center in Virginia, the wharf, it would really help if Metro would do better with having a streamlined approach for where people are supposed to end up getting dropped off and picked up accessibility wise, because sometimes these addresses aren't even out on the street. But yeah, there might be a metro like this one over in Virginia on Silver Line. It's like right there. But like when it comes to trying to, you know, get someone to pick you up or drop you off when you're making reservations, it's like a guessing game. And then they get frustrated because we don't know the address, but that's not our fault, because a couple times I had to look up totally different address than that was posted on the internet just to go to the Clery Center at University of Maryland in College Park. So that's my rapid take on what's going on. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. We can take the next person. And Mr. Navid, there'll be a follow-up on your comments. So thank you for your feedback. Next person would be a member. Her name is Pamela. So please unmute yourself. When you start speaking, I would start the timer of 3 minutes at that point. So go ahead.
Yes, I'm Pamela, Black female. I was having the same trouble with that Deborah was having with the hanging up, trying to find my ride. Every time I hit two, it would ring, and then next thing I know, I'm hung up on. But that's one of my issues. But my main issue is I called Mr. Blake maybe the weekend, I don't know, maybe Thursday or Friday on this issue about me every day within the last 3 weeks, my ride has been late. I was late getting on the meeting today because my ride, I had a pickup between 3 and 3:30. I called at 3:35. They said my ride is 2 minutes away. At 4 o'clock, I had to call back to find out where my ride. Then the young lady gives me an Uber. Every day I've been going through this, every single day between the last three, it's like where I'm working at 12th Independence, like it's no drivers and they're pushing Uber on me. I mean, I don't mind Uber. I don't mind it. But I signed up for Metro Access to catch the van, and that's what I, you know, sometimes I want to do. And not every single day within the last, and I, you know, Mr. Blake said he was going to put his team on this to investigate. Today, I was late for the meeting because I'm sitting here waiting for them to, you know, send me an Uber or let me know what kind of car is going to be and the tag number. So I was not able to get on the meeting on time. You know, I didn't hear everything, but I mean, it's beginning to get frustrating. Like, I'm just like, is any more, you know, any vans in this area at all at around 3:30, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock? Because every day I have not got on a van in the evening.
So Ms. White, you did call me last week and I have put you on the alert list so we can monitor your trips. I hear you every day. I'm not going to debate that. It hasn't been every day, but the key thing I want to mention to you, because you said it to me, you're now saying it, so I got to just say it on the record. No one's pushing Uber on you. No one's pushing Uber on anyone. We offer Uber for trips that are late or projected to be late precisely because that's what the customer feedback had told us. In fact, it started with the chairman of this committee who brought to our attention how New York City allows customers to go ahead and book trips on rideshare services and then be reimbursed. Well, we don't do it that way. We just give you a free trip. So as I mentioned to you on the phone, please do not feel that Metro Access is pushing Uber on you. It's being offered. And I can tell you with the number of customers, and one just got off who wants almost all of their trips on Uber, there are plenty of customers for the Uber trips. So we don't have to force Uber on anybody. It's a matter of trying to be convenient. In terms of being the late trips, it's not about the vehicles. You are on the alert list. And what I do is our overall on-time performance is 90%. There are customers who are falling below that. Those individuals, we have to monitor their trips to figure out why. Customers above that, good. We want to keep them above that. But it does become more the closer you get to that 90% number. So we're trying to push all the trips back up to a 92, 93, 94% area. Are we having some challenges right now? Yes. Traffic in DC has increased substantially. There's a lot of things going on with the traffic. So we're trying to pre-position our vehicles and do a better job at serving everyone in Washington, D.C., particularly trips coming out of Washington, D.C., or any pickups in Washington, D.C., have been challenging recently, and we're doing some things to try to address that. I assure you, your trips tomorrow won't be late. I can guarantee
you
that.
I understand, like today, okay, one lady tell me my ride is 3 minutes away, and I stood out there for a half an hour. I've been out there since 3 o'clock. Because my pickup started at 3. And she tell me at 3:35, she tell me, oh, your ride is 2 minutes away. And then I called at 4. Oh, your ride is going to be 40 minutes late from 4 o'clock. She going to tell me your ride is going to be...
Because at the time she told you that, vehicle ABC might have been 3 minutes away from you. We need to find out what happened to that vehicle that they all of a sudden had to switch it to another vehicle, perhaps, that is further away. We need to find 40, out. That's
40 minutes away? 40, I'm going to wait. I done already waited a half an hour from being late for my end of my pickup. You. And then you're going to give me 40 minutes more?
Ms. White, Ms. White, listen to me.
Mm-hmm. I hear you.
There are times prior to the streak of late trips, and again, we're going to monitor it, you didn't have this. So customers, there are these cycles that we go through. We're in a tough cycle right now. And it's been, not for you, you say it's been the last 2 or 3 weeks. Yeah. For the service, it's been a little longer than that because, again, the traffic in Washington, D.C. has increased much higher, much faster than we anticipated at this time. There are a lot of things going on, and we are trying to figure out how to adjust to that. I'll look and see, what did they say to you? Why did they say this vehicle is only 2 minutes and what happened to it? But at the end of the day, what we're trying to do is, if your trip is running late and you don't want an Uber, you can, as I said in the call we had the other day, please put in your pickup comment, no Uber, and they won't offer you Uber. And what happens, though, is many other customers whose trips are either late or not even late, who are offered an Uber, that then frees up a van to serve you and other customers who are remaining on the vans. So
why don't the Uber drivers help the clients? I haven't been on here in about 3 years. I used to come to the meetings all the time in the building. Okay. Haven't been, so I'm trying to find out. I know you know the Uber. Why don't they help the clients?
Because the Uber service is a curb-to-curb service. It's their regular service. When I catch an Uber and use my telephone to order an Uber tonight, the driver is not going to get out the car to help me get in the vehicle or carry my bags or anything. So if that's a challenge, again, please say no to Uber. That doesn't mean we'll prolong your wait if we're late. That just means the dispatcher won't spend that time thinking that Uber may be a solution, and instead we're looking for a different solution for your particular trip that might be later projected to be late. But Uber is not door-to-door ADA service, so that's why their drivers do not help the clients.
So who's at fault if I get hurt?
Ms. White, this is a new...
If I fall getting in and out of Uber, and you know, you gave me this Uber ride. Who do I go after for my doctor bills? Do I go after Uber, or do I go after Metro Access, or do I go after Marmada, or who, you know?
Well, your lawyer is probably going to sue Metro because that's what people do. When they get in an accident with a bus or a train, Everybody was hurt. So you probably sue Uber, sue Metro, but there are ways. But I wouldn't be focused again.
I'm just saying, I mean, I have bags. And sometimes it's not only me. I see a blind individual out front of my building every day, and he just stands there, and the Uber driver is sitting there. Nobody goes to get him. He doesn't even know if his car is out there.
I can just say, Ms. White, again, I like to deal with individuals. We have hundreds, probably more than hundreds, but I know at least hundreds of people with visual disabilities who have opted and chosen to use Uber. And in fact, okay, tell me they would rather have Uber than Metro Access. Right. You're the opposite. It's all good. And we have enough vehicles to serve everybody. Should we be late? We should never be late on anything, but things do happen. We're going to monitor your trips.
Okay.
Again, we're going to monitor. I'm going to figure out what they said to you. But again, these have been in cycles. Because like you said, we haven't heard from you in 3 years. So I think we probably were doing pretty good in 3 years. But these things do go in cycles. You're being affected by a current cycle. We're working very hard to turn it around so that no one is impacted, so that there is no bad cycle. But these things do happen. We're working very hard to turn it around. And hopefully, not that we don't want to see you, hopefully we won't see you for another 3 years. But I mean, and I know
you ain't seen me in the last 3 years because nobody was riding, but the ride should pick back up. So
well, but then we turn things around, and that's what we talk about. But we had meetings. But my point to you is, if you weren't impacted for the last 3 years, that's a testament to the service we provided you. Hopefully we won't see you for another 3 years unless you just want to come by and say hi or give us more advice. And we take both of them. But you'll hear from me or a member of the team tomorrow about your trip today. And I can almost assure you your trips won't be late tomorrow.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Thank you. This is our next member of the public is Amanda Hillman. Ms. Hillman, when you start speaking,
I just got to say to Ms. White, just so, because I know people take certain things for granted. If you just go on Google and type in paratransit and look around the country, ridership was down all over the place. There were other properties that were clearly suffering terribly, even with lower ridership. Metro Access was not one of them. So, yeah, it sounds easy. Oh, there was just nobody riding. No, there were people riding. And there were, but it was lower. Yes, you're right. The ridership was down, but the ridership was down all over the country. Go read some of the news stories and the horror stories of those other paratransit properties. You didn't have that here, thanks to the leadership we have here. So, yeah, it's easy to take great service for granted, but believe me, I make it look easy, but it's not as easy as it may seem. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Blake. Ms. Hillman, if you would come off of mute. When you start speaking, I would turn the timer for 3 minutes at that point.
Yes, thank you. First of all, I guess I just want to address the web booking. And I thank you all because it is much, much better in terms of, when I book, in the afternoon sometimes. It can't always be helped. But I do try to book earlier in the day, as you all suggest. The only thing that The only thing that I just wanted to bring to your attention is that I noticed that if I'm booking for later than the next day, like today is, what's today, Tuesday, Monday. So if I'm booking for like Wednesday or next week or whatever, sometimes when I put in the date that I want, and then I'm changing the option from, I guess it defaults to the, your pickup time. And I change it to the option of appointment time, then the system will default the date back to tomorrow's date, the next day. And I've had a couple of situations where I had booked it, then I had to go back. And when I went, because I go back and check, I realized that it was booked for the wrong day. And at first I thought it was me making a mistake, but it's happened several times. Now I kind of, because I'm aware of that, I go back and before I submit my request, I go back and make sure it has the correct date that I need. So I just wanted to bring that to your attention if you weren't aware of that happening. I think basically that's the main thing. Other than that, it seems to be working okay when I do the web booking. Oh, no, there is one other thing. Sometimes when I go to sign out after I finish my web booking and I go to log out of the system, then it won't log me out. It just kind of stays there, or, you know, the screen still stays open with me logged in. So I just wanted to bring that to your attention as well. So it's not really a complaint. It's just a FYI for you all to look into, just in case somebody else might be experiencing that problem as well.
Hey. We appreciate that, and especially about the default when you're trying to switch to appointment time. That's good information. I think it's good to share it. I don't know if we would change it per se. I'm not going to make that promise at the moment. But if that is the default action, I think that's a good note to share to customers so that others who are doing the same thing will at least be aware of that date change.
Okay. No, well, that's always been the case. So I'm aware of that, and because of that, I'm always making sure when it's appropriate to change it to appointment time. I mean, appointment trip. But I'm just noticing that lately, the last few weeks, maybe it's when I do that, the date may change and default back to the next day for the appointment. So that's the part that I just wanted to bring to your attention.
Well, I will say that I've noticed that when I put up 99% so book clipper, that sometimes you do have to watch it and since it's updating the web booking, that when you try to do it for a different date than the next day, sometimes it triggers back to the next day, and you want to make sure you select it again to the date you intend to book for it. I just want to put that out there.
Okay. Thank you, Chair Samalpur. This is Anu. The next member of the public who has her hand up is Libra Robinson. So go ahead, make your comments, and I'll start the timer when you start speaking.
Okay, thank you so much, and good evening, everyone. I have three quick questions. My first one is, just recently this year, I've tried to, a few months ago, tried to book a ride for Metro Access, only to be told that my Metro Access was, I guess, not suspended, but last January during the pandemic, I was unaware that it was, I guess, suspended or, you know, taken away, whatever. So my question is, now I have to renew the whole process, and I've noticed like my doctor's office is not even accepting appointments until like next year. My question is, and I'm blind and visually impaired, so do I have to necessarily go to my eye doctor for them to say to fill out my Metro Access form, or can it be any doctor like my dentist or someone who knows that I'm visually impaired? My second question is concerning Metro Access. I've heard a few of my members, I'm with the National Federation of the Blind BC, that says that in lieu of an Uber, sometimes they're sent the cab as well through Metro Access. So my question is Wamato Metro Access connected to the Transport DC program, or do they, or are they just connected to us cab services in general to send the cab? And my last question is, if a person is blind or visually impaired, and I'm asking because I'm unsure, this is what I was told, so I want to hear from the horse's mouth. If a blind or visually impaired person applies to work at the call center, is it true that the system does not have JAWS to accommodate that person, only Zoom text and magic? Thank you.
Okay, so the last question, you have to call the company itself and work with them and ask them. This is not HR line, so you would call them and talk with them and what accommodations they do have and how that can be addressed. Okay. I do know that there has been people with low vision or blind who have been employed by that company, but this is not really the place for that kind of conversation, because that is a contractor, they're a private business. They will address your particular inquiry as you could be an applicant or what have you. So we don't want to get into that on this call.
Okay.
On your Metro Access application, from what I hear, it doesn't sound like you were suspended. It sounds like your eligibility expired and you are required to reapply. Mm-hmm. If there are challenges getting to a doctor, simply send us the information. If this is a recertification, we can presumptively make you eligible to give you time to get to the doctor. I don't believe it has to be your eye doctor per se. It could be your medical doctor, but we'll give you the time you need. Contact us and let us know, and we can presumptively make you eligible until you have the time at which to submit a completed application. And then your third question was related to the taxis. Mm-hmm. We are affiliated with Transport DC only to the extent that, one, I was the person who created it and gave it to the district, and we're glad that they're operating it. And we provide them a list of Metro Access eligible customers. But Transport DC, just so you know, is only for residents of Washington, DC. Mm-hmm. So that's a different program that's run by the district, and they've done a great job, and we continue to support them and provide them all the information they need to facilitate trips of people who are residents of Washington, D.C. and are eligible for Metro Access. The taxi cabs that a person who is being sent to by Metro Access, some of them are the same companies you would see in Transport DC. You're talking about Yellow Cab, Transco, and some of those others. But again, it's just like the Uber program. Customers tell us they like taxis. They book their trip on Metro Access. A lottery machine goes through what it does, and it identifies some trips to go on taxis. And, you know, we just had a call, comments from Ms. White. One of the things we have been doing is reaching out to the taxi companies and saying, can you head in DC in particular? And they have been providing a lot of free trips to Metro Access customers, which has helped alleviate some of the pressure on the Metro Access service overall. And the customers are benefiting with free taxi trips as well as free Ubers. So it's a win-win. And that's how I try to partner with customers wherever I go. Something beneficial to the customer, something beneficial to the agency and the taxpayers. But as I mentioned, and I'll say to you, as I said to Ms. White, you will never hear me or Metro Access try to force or push taxis or Ubers on the customers. And quite frankly, we don't have to push it on, because there's so many customers. As I just got a text from one of my favorite customers, just said, push them on me. All I want is Uber. And I know we get that. So there are different strokes for different folks. And if you like Metro Access, believe me, we want you to love it as you did the last several years when we were in super high 90s. If you like Uber and taxis, we will try to give you as many of those as the computer lottery system will allow you to have within the structure of being fair for everybody.
Well, thank you so much, sir. Keep up the good work. And I think a lot of people are benefiting from being able to have the taxis and Ubers as an option. And hopefully I will be able to soon. So thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Blake and Ms. Robinson. This is a new next person would be Janice Samuel. Janice, when you start speaking, I will turn the timer for 3 minutes.
Thank you, Anu. I brought up this topic before in the past, and I'd like to reintroduce it. I'd like to ask that WMATA no longer require the recertification for eligibility of persons that are permanently disabled. I know the argument has been brought forward that, you know, all persons aren't permanently disabled, and sometimes you can, you know, get Metro Access, but you're not always going to need it. A few things to support this request is, For example, when a blind or visually impaired person gets a library card, they don't have to continually a library card for the blind and print disabled. They don't have to continually have to recertify it. Also, recently, a Metro Access rider told me that their physician would not sign the recertification request because their condition had not changed. It wasn't going to change. They were tired of doing this every 3 years, and they weren't going to sign it any longer. And so that put the rider in the position of having to shop for a physician to sign this recertification form. Someone who's not familiar with their medical history. Also, many permanently disabled people who are blind, they don't go to the doctor. They don't go to the doctor because the physician can't do anything for them. There's no services that why they would go to see an ophthalmologist or any eye doctor, because they can't do anything. There are also individuals who've had their eyes removed from their head, so they can't see. Why do I have to recertify my eligibility? So these are instances of, they're extreme instances, but these are things why we would like to have the suspension of the requirement to have to recertify for eligibility every 3 years. Thank you.
And I hear you, Ms. Samuel, and theoretically, I'm not necessarily disagreeing with you. As you pointed, I'm glad you said it. I mean, you did pick some rather extreme examples, and so that certainly wouldn't cover the vast majority of the now 40-some-odd thousand people who are Metro Access eligible. Part of the reason is because we aren't dealing necessarily with smaller extremes, but we're dealing with a large body in the middle of people who have disabilities that prevent them from using paratransit for at least one trip, let's say, but have shown great functionality and ability to use fixed route services for a vast majority of their trips. So we need to bring those folks in for recertification. What we have done, I will say, and again, I think we've been, much like with no-show late cancellation suspensions, I think we're probably the most liberal agency in the country these days. I mean, just from my knowledge of the industry, where I've been and things like that, no one is as easy on those suspensions as we are. And it's the same thing with recertification. We're now practicing something called administrative recertifications, where we are taking into account some of the points you're making in reference. And that's why I think it was Ms. Anderson. I said, just give me a call tomorrow. We can recertify through, not missing my word, presumptive eligibility. Now, I don't know too many paratransit agencies where you could come to a public meeting and the head of the agent, head of the, excuse me, of the service, and just say, hey, just give me a call tomorrow and I'll presumably make you eligible. I mean, it doesn't really work that way around the country. We're free and open to be as flexible as needy to our customers. However, we do have to put some bounds in place, not to try to deny a person, not to make it inconvenient, but at least to have for the record that we're doing our due diligence in ensuring that the person who has this eligibility is who he or she say they are, and for our comfort in knowing that despite the continued and massive investments in accessibility that this fixed route system has and continues to receive, that those investments have not gone so far as to help this particular individual utilize that service. Because at the end of the day, that's really why we're here. We're here simply because that person cannot use bus or rail. And so I think there's some integrity to our work, not on the customer, but to us showing that we're doing our job in the spirit of the ADA. But We're doing things like administrative recertifications. We're doing presumptive eligibility in certain cases just to keep the process moving and give a person access to transportation. But the notion that we're going to eliminate recertification, I don't believe that's going to happen anytime soon. I'm just being honest with you. I don't think that's going to happen.
I hear you. My issue is you're asking for a physician to certify. So if a physician certifies on your form that this condition is permanent and will not change, then there should be no need for a recertification because you are asking the physician to attest.
No, I'm with you on that, but again, you got to go back to my other point, though. The physician is attesting to the individual's disability. The physician cannot necessarily attest to the investments Metro has and continues to make in accessibility. So while the condition may not change, we still need to do our due diligence with the understanding that we're trying to make this system ever more accessible. And despite your permanent condition, what that may be, your permanent condition at this stage may not be preventing you from using bus or rail. We only can know that if we go through the recertification process.
Mm-hmm. I hear you. Okay.
All right. So how are we doing with customer comment and new?
We're doing pretty well, actually.
I got to say, I appreciate Ms. Samuel's question or points, and I know she's going to continue to advise us as we're taking it and advocate on that position. I highly respect it.
Thank you, because I will.
Thank you, Ms. Samuels, and thank you, Mr. Blake.
So we're going to push the last two topics off until next month's agenda, but we'll finish with the rest of customer comment. This looks like where we're going tonight. Is that correct, Anu?
Seems that way. Yes, yes, Chair Samuel Ford.
Okay.
I just want to take a quick moment. Deborah Dunaway had written a message in the chat. I just want to read that for the record. She wrote, how will the DC taxi cab taking on Uber affect us Metro Access clients?
How would the DC taxi cab taking on Uber? I'm not sure. Can you help me out understanding?
It's that I saw recently that they're going to start sending Uber rides to taxis as well. It just is coincidental that you had discussed what you had without knowing I wrote that. So I didn't know, are we going to start getting yellow cab or something else? But like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm used to separating.
So let me tell you, you could. Now, okay. Be honest with you, again, that would generally be our decision of how we schedule it. So unless you're in a wheelchair or other mobility device, the likelihood that the Uber that picks you up is a taxi is small. But if you're in a wheelchair or mobility device, the Uber wheelchair accessible vehicle service very well could be a taxi. And that's already happening. That's
been happening. Yeah.
So the likelihood that you, for example, if you're leaving out of DC that you're gonna and you're on an Uber, that you're going to be in a taxi is not likely. However, since you brought it up, let me just drop, you know, Ms. Rush and Patrick always say, I got an August surprise. Well, this is not quite a surprise, but if you all remember prior to the pandemic, there was an Uber service called Uber something, I forgot the term, but it was shared rides. We didn't send a lot of them out. And even if we sent it out as a shared ride, doesn't mean you necessarily received a shared ride, but January, February, maybe March or April, and I'll certainly give you a heads up, there could be, especially in the midday, maybe not so much in the early mornings or late at night, but in the middays, some of your Uber trips could be shared ride trips. So just want you to be aware that that part is coming up. We did it before the pandemic, so this is not new. You just haven't had it now in over 3 years. But what it does is keeps the sense of a shared ride service, which Metro Access truly is. It lowers our costs just a tad bit. But you know, we'll see. But that is definitely being offered again by Uber. They have recently started in many cities across the country, including DC. But we're not going to do it yet through Metro Access. It'll be a little bit. But I just want you to be aware that that could be coming.
Is there
a shared ride possibility depending on the time and day and location?
Correct. Yeah, this is mainly in the midday.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Mainly in the midday. Late at night or early in the mornings, it wouldn't be to anyone's advantage for us to try to share you on a
And not during rush hour periods.
Right.
Right, right.
Or during rush hour periods where obviously Ubers are scarce.
Correct.
Resources are more scarce.
But that's a little down the line. We'll come back to that. And can I share one other? Oh, I see a lot of hands up. My goodness. Okay. Never mind. We'll go ahead. Let's keep going with
it. We only have 5 minutes left.
Okay. Yeah. This is Anu. We only have 5 minutes left. I see Pamela. Miss Pamela has raised her hand again.
In the interest of time, since she already has spoken, who has not gotten a chance to speak during public comment? I see Philippa. I would like to take.
Okay, we have Philippa, Doris Ray, and then Denise Rush.
Okay, this is Philippa. I just had a quick question. I'll be quick. The young lady who didn't want the Uber brought up a point that I thought was interesting when she said she saw a blind person waiting for the Uber who didn't, you know, do anything to identify himself to the person. So my question is not to be answered tonight necessarily, but to be pondered. How does a blind person find that link to push, you know, I'm ready to get the Uber? And how does the blind person identify the Uber when it comes unless there are special instructions to that driver? So that's just my question to be pondered for later, unless there's a quick answer, but I don't want to stop anyone else from asking theirs.
Well, 30-second answer.
All right, Doris.
They receive the links just like everyone else, and different individuals have different skill sets, but that's why we went to the SMS to make it as simple and easy for all disabilities to be able to take advantage of this program. And once the link is pushed, not only do you get the phone call, but you get the link to track the trip, which they can use with their regular screen reader. And it tells you the driver's name, the make and color of the vehicle, and information like that. And they can call the driver as well if they need to.
Doris, go ahead.
Yes, I associate myself with the remarks and questions raised by the blind individual regarding recertification, but I also extend them to make the point that many people with different disabilities, physical, cognitive, intellectual, do have permanent disabilities. But my question for clarification is in certification and recertification, do I remember correctly that it doesn't necessarily have to be a physician that can certify, but that it could be, for example, a rehabilitation counselor, like in Virginia, the Department for the Blind or Vision Impaired, or Department of Aging and Rehabilitative Services, or DOORS in Maryland. So if that is correct, it could help with the availability of physicians to, you know, do a reassessment and certify that you are still permanently disabled. And if I'm wrong about that, then maybe we could get the authority to have somebody like a particularly a rehab counselor or somebody in the school system that has certified a child or an adolescent. So that's just a thought, and I wondered what the answer was about alternatives to physicians.
Great question, Doris. Real quick, I know we've been emphasizing doctors, But let me check on the flexibility because we don't want, I get it. Let me follow up. But I know we've emphasized medical doctors, but let's follow up. I'll follow up at the next meeting on this matter.
Chair Samuelport, this is, I know it is 5:59 and we have Denise Rush and Pamela hands up. Ms. Rush, do you want to take a choose a quick second to state your comment or
would you yes, like to- this is Denise Rush. Thank you, Mr. Blake, for the side dish for Thanksgiving. And you know what I'm talking about. But Sandy sent out an email or a suggestion that further down the road, I hope gets thought about, that you have, if you are certified and approved, it's for the United States or all handicap paratransit services so that you don't, you know, when you go to Chicago, you don't have to go get approved, you're already on the list. It's every once you are certified, you're certified to use paratransit in all states. And I think that's a further on down the road, that's a good suggestion.
And I'm going to stay at 6 o'clock. So after this call, because we lose our interpreters, so we must end this meeting. And I'm out here, I get kicked off. So what makes that bullshit, Ms. Rush? Thank you.
And I'll respond to that next meeting. That was a great point, but I'll respond to it next meeting. Thank you.
Could I make a motion to adjourn, please?
So moved.
All those in favor, please do so by saying aye. If you still have a comment, Pamela, please call anew, email her so that it gets on the public record. Thank you, because we lost our interpreters at 6.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay, and thank you.
Allison, go Chiefs.
Thank you. Yes, go Chiefs. Go Chiefs.
Thanksgiving. If anyone has
and Sandy, your topic will follow next week. Thanks.
Okay.
Okay. Anyone needing to make public comments, please email at metroaacchair@wmata.com or call and leave a message at 202-962-1100. Thank you very much. It has been a wonderful meeting. Have a very happy Thanksgiving and have a wonderful week.
Yes, happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Thank you, everybody.
Yep.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Anu.